I think some of you know that a few weeks ago, Dwight and I were on our way to Berlin to spend a week there together. And we were so excited. And you know how that goes when you're starting off a trip with so much anticipation and joy and the sense of freedom. And I think this was the first time we had gone away together just by ourselves since maybe our honeymoon. So that was exciting too. So we got on the plane here, and then there was a thunderstorm and there was lightning, and we sat and we sat and we sat. And as time went on, it became clear that maybe we were going to miss our connecting flight in Amsterdam or come very close. So Dwight got on the phone with Delta and tried, but the guy in Delta didn't quite know what was going on. So we just kind of had to leave it in the hands of the Lord. And we finally took off after 2 hours. We arrived in Amsterdam, and I don't know how many of you have been in that airport. It is a big airport. We ran across that airport. We were just sweating bullets. The good news, we got a great workout. Got a great workout, but we had not slept all night. I can never sleep on those flights, so we're just bleary and sweating and feeling so gross and wondering what's going to happen. We're directed toward this KLM lounge. We knew we were going to have to wait for a while. All the flights are booked. They finally have to book us on a flight to... We have to go to Vienna to then fly to Berlin. So we walk into the KLM lounge, and it was a feast. There were pastas and salads and juice and wine and champagne. And the best, there was bread and cheese. And this is not any bread and cheese. This is Dutch bread and cheese. This is mouth-watering bread and cheese. And it was just so amazing. And I really feel like that wonderful abundance in that KLM lounge where we hung out for 5 hours sustained us as we traveled and finally arrived in Berlin after 30 hours of travel. I truly think it was that heavenly bread that sustained us. We all need bread, sustenance, to survive. And that bread tastes especially good when we're hungry or under duress. In today's gospel, which follows the story of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus tells the crowds who pursue him not to, quote, work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And Jesus later says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, Jesus is talking about a hunger that goes beyond bread here, even Dutch bread. But that doesn't mean he doesn't care about physical hunger. God cares about our physical hunger. God cares about our spiritual and our physical needs. Today's readings, both the story after Jesus' feeding of the 5,000, as well as the story of God feeding the Israelites in the wilderness with manna, demonstrates that God is concerned about food insecurity. But here, Jesus is also talking about deeper hungers, a hunger for meaning, for purpose, for God, for a reason to live beyond filling our bellies. By identifying himself as the bread of life, Jesus is claiming to be essential to human existence, like bread, but more than physical nourishment. The one who speaks to us here desires that we not only think about him, but also feed on him, ingest him. This means we could starve to death without him. In our gospel, the crowd asked Jesus what they must do to perform the work of God. What do they mean by perform the work of God? One translation of their question is, what do we do then to get in on God's works? Meaning, how do we join up with the powerful things that we're seeing and experiencing? In response, Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Believe in him. Many of us hear these words as meaning we need to agree to a series of theological or doctrinal propositions, doctrinal statements about Jesus. Maybe some of you were raised in traditions where you had to agree to a bunch of specific statements before you were baptized or before you could join a particular church. But here, belief means what you set your heart upon. Jesus is asking the crowd to give him their hearts. He's inviting them to be in relationship with him, to stake their hearts on him, the same way they would stake their hearts on someone they loved. He is inviting them to align their life and priorities with their love for him. He's inviting us to do the same. Aligning our life and priorities with Jesus includes everything: what we do during our work and our free time, how we treat everyone around us, and especially the most vulnerable, how we relate to the natural world, what we do with our money and other material resources, what we do with our time. When we step back and look at the totality of our lives, are we staking our heart on Jesus? Further, the belief Jesus talks about is not so much what we do as being open to what God is doing in our midst. While God calls us to participate in God's healing, reconciling work in our families, neighborhoods, workplaces, and in the cities, God has also taken the lead. God is already at work in the lives of others. And we encounter these others and what God is doing in them, and God is always bringing forth new life and new possibilities. We must therefore be open and attentive to what God is already doing, making time to listen, to see, to wonder. Belief also means the ability to see and name God's abundance in response to human longings. Who here is hungry? Hungry for meaning, purpose, vision, abundant life. Today, Jesus invites you to feast on soul food, not junk food that provides instant gratification but does not sustain you for the long term. No, Jesus is offering soul food, the food and drink that will quench our hungers and sustain us through the ups and downs of life. We are all hungry for something. Some of us have struggled with ongoing food insecurity and physical hunger. Some of us hunger for meaning and purpose. Some of us hunger and thirst for justice and righteousness. Some of us hunger to be loved and valued for who we are. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In the silence that follows, let's take time to reflect on these words and to invite Jesus into our deepest hungers and longings. Amen.